it doesn't matter how much technology we have, it doesn't matter how much carbon neutral we are or big polluter we are, all the communities, not the countries, should have strong power for at least important part of the decisions that are being made in their territory. Environmental democracy, it is a tool that it will help us to really put an end in what we don't want for our territory, but also to really, really put the focus on the horizon that we want to advance in the next key 8 years ahead. How we are imagining development and how we are imagining a sustainable life.
Welcome to Voices of Open Government, a show from the Open Government Partnership, where we explore how to make our democracies more transparent, inclusive, participatory, and accountable. In this season, we're exploring some of the big issues facing democracy by talking to the reformers, activists, journalists, and citizens who are on the ground right now in the midst of the fight. You may not recognize my voice, so let me introduce myself. My name is Jose Perez. I'm a part of the OGP team and have been working on Voices of Open Government behind the scenes. Stephanie has moved on from OGP to other ventures, so I'll be your host for the rest of this season. I'm so excited to be here. Let's get started. We are experiencing unprecedented heat waves, floods, and droughts in many places around the world. Yet, affected communities are rarely engaged in decision-making when it comes to projects that affect their lands and natural resources. The Escazú Agreement, signed in 2018 by Latin American countries, offers hope in the face of a looming climate crisis. It aims to address the lack of environmental democracy in the region, as well as to prevent murders of environmental defenders. Today's guest is Felipe Pino, an environmental lawyer based in Chile. He is part of the Access to Justice team of FEMA, a nonprofit that advances environmental justice through law and civic participation. Today, Felipe explains how FEMA is working to implement Escazú and why this agreement is so significant in advancing environmental democracy.
We work mostly in environmental justice, not only in litigation, but also in promoting environmental policy and climate policy here in Chile, and of course, within the Latin American region. I have been always an environmental lover and a very animal lover, and et cetera, from my father. And this was the opportunity to bring together the justice looking and the scientific part that it was also in my interest, and to put it together to address also a very common kind of right that is environmental rights. It's not about one person, it's about communities. And that all, of course, it was a very interesting approach. And already involved in environmental justice, well, FEMA was one of the main NGOs that has this approach of common interest, not only the private approach to environment and resources, but public interest approach, not being part of the government. So I start just being one of the attendees in their activities, and later as a student table to review some of the cases. And now for the last 5 years, part of the team and helping with legal empowerment of communities that are suffering environmentally.
At FEMA, Felipe uses law to defend the environment and promote civic participation.
We use environmental law to stop some of the projects that we think that they are not, that simply not suited for the climate crisis that we are living on. And of course, we are also trying to promote more strong governance and more strong process of civic participation that allow us to have very, very locally and very, very responsible climate action plans. Chile is now in a self-declared socio-ecological transition. That is a program from the current government. So we are just trying to use law to really, really push for climate action. So I would say that it's mostly litigation for stopping some of the projects, advocacy for the laws and the processes that we need for really, really getting involved people into this process. I would say legal empowerment, like really teach and put in practice people's rights. And of course, that is also a legal action that we do with all the communities that we work with.
Felipe's work is contributing to environmental democracy in Chile and Latin America.
What environmental democracy push for is that people can have a word and an implication in the environmental decisions within their territory. Their territory can be their neighborhood, can be the city, can be the region, can be the country. We should be participating in all that scales at the same time. And I think that is something that very, very few countries or regions have, like, very successful example. I think that is something that we are constantly building, but it should be, of course, one of the main goals for everyone, every organization that wants environmental justice, because it doesn't matter how much technology we have, it doesn't matter how much carbon neutral we are or a big polluter we are. All the communities, not the countries, should have strong power for at least important part of the decisions that are being made in their territory. And in the other cases, well, what we should expect is that some of the countries are being sacrificed for the wealth of the total country or even the region or even other countries. So I think, of course, environmental democracy, it is a tool that it will help us to really put an end in what we don't want for our territory, but also to really, really put the focus on the horizon that we want to advance in the next key 8 years ahead. How we are imagining development and how we are imagining sustainable life within all the context and the different characteristics of each territory.
In 2018, Latin American countries came together to sign ESCAZU, the Regional Agreement on Access to Information, Public Participation, and Justice in Environmental Matters.
ESCAZU is now the tool that we have that puts the most ambitious standards in access rights, civic participation, access to justice in environmental issues, and the protection of environmental defenders. This is an international convention that has a very, very innovative system for the deliberation. It's like this twin sister convention for the Aarhus Convention in Europe.
The Aarhus Convention is a leading international agreement on environmental democracy. Similarly to ESCAZU, it ensures public participation in environmental matters.
And it not only promotes all the access rights in environmental issues, but really puts the highest standards. And it has been, of course, one of the main demands, the ratification and the implementation of this agreement for the environmental human rights defenders. It is an opportunity for all the countries that ratifies to really, really update their environmental legal system and their processes to this new and really needed standards that we need in access to information, civic participation, etc. This is the fulfillment of these rights is what FEMA has been working their 20 years of activity, access to information, to participation, and access to justice, because there are three rights that are very, very linked in order to the fulfillment of each one. So we cannot have, of course, a strong and effective public participation if we don't have the access to information, and that participation may be not be as transformative if we don't have the tools to go to court if this participation is not really putting the people's needs into these processes. And of course, and this is the main difference with the Aarhus Agreement, is that Latin America is well known from the cases of deaths and menace to environmental defenders.
According to a Global Witness report, from 2012 to 2021, 68% of murders of environmental defenders occurred in Latin America.
So this is something that I think for a long time has not get the attention it deserves. And now in this agreement, I think there is the first step to really, really address this issue that is one of the worst things that I think is happening right now in Latin America. The really strong danger that our environmental defenders that are the ones that are really, really pushing for changes, and for changes that are not only for them, but for all of us, are the ones that are more in danger today. So the Escazú Agreement is the first regional, international strong effort to step forward in all these issues.
According to Felipe, what makes the Escazú Agreement so different is its strong focus on public participation and human rights. Escazú is the only treaty worldwide that explicitly protects environmental defenders.
The way that the Escazú Agreement was redacted and the process to the creation of the agreement, it was transformative from the beginning. So we have public representatives that get along all the process, and it was a key factor for the language and the approach that this agreement has. This is a governance, a body that exists until today. The first public representatives was the ones that were within the creation of the agreement. And now we have the first, second generation, you may say, of public representatives. So it is something transformative about how this functions that is very, very special. This is the first international agreement to address the problem of environmental defenders, and not only their rights to live, but their rights to be safe. And that, of course, the addressing of this problem directly and not like human rights and environment problem, it is, of course, a very, very strong leap in the language and in the importance that we are giving to this topic. And I think that it is also transformative, I don't know if in with comparison with Aarhus, but to really, really start talking about standards in access to information and participation, it is something that we, at least here in Chile, is not a lot of development. We still have some environmental development projects that will have impacts in environment that doesn't have mandatory public participations. It is the people that have to organize and ask for and to open public process of participation. And that simply cannot be in the 21st century, you know? Like, we can't expect to put that load in people's shoulders because they have already environmental problems.
Chile was one of the main facilitators of the agreement, but when it came time to sign it, some pushed against it, arguing Chile already had in place similar measures.
And of course, our answer was, there's always something that you can do better, of course. And if you're already doing better, well, then help others to do it better too. So actually being part of Escazú is not only ratify and be part of obligations. You are also part of a community of countries that want to improve these access rights. So of course, there are a lot of good examples that you can share. There are a lot of examples that you may use to address specific problems. And now I think that all of the countries that are signing Escazú are thinking that this is an urgent matter. This is a key matter for achieving climate justice. and they are bringing together to really, really think, how can we do this in the environmental and climate crisis that we are today? And with the resources that we have as Latin America and with the context we have in Latin America, I think that Escazú is like this twin sister of or Agus, but also has this very, very deep spirit to be something that doesn't exist yet. Like this is one of the first solutions that have this Latin American impronto in environmental issues. And I think that we should treat them like that. This is something new. We are, of course, learning from the foreign experiences from other countries, but the solutions, the real solutions, the long-term solutions should be within our context and who of all more suited to us for achieving that solution.
Part of Felipe's job is to implement the Escazú Agreement. He does so by encouraging citizens to participate in environmental justice.
We're starting to talk about how long should be a term for the public participation. Yeah, it cannot be 10 days or 20 days. It should be at least 45 days, more than a month. And if we are talking to access to information, that information should be in a language that is understandable for the people that have to participate. It cannot be only in a technical language. It should be in technical language, but also in a language that is understandable for these people. It should be in all the languages that it has to really be understood for all the community. So I think that it's the conversation about the details that really can bring us to what are we understanding for an effective public participation, for example. And now we have the gigantic challenge to implement this within our internal legislations and institutionality. A lot of the communities that we work with, they're always asking for like mandatory results of the public processes, the citizen participation processes. Escazú offers a different language, for example. There is not like mandatory and or obligations for each participation processes, but these participation processes should be effective. But I think if you should say it in one word, I think people want effective participation processes. They have to see that their participation has a result, that within their participation, this could not be possible. That could be achieved in a lot of ways. And I think that every challenge needs a solution suited for the challenge. But we really, really need to start thinking about this participation process that go beyond consultation, simple consultation. I think that is the key. People already are done with simple consultations that does not have really an impact in the decision-making. And the solution to that is multiple. You can create permanent governance bodies, or you can have some of the participation decisions with mandatory obligations. The ones that are very local that can be perfectly mandatory, the resultings. But I think that the key for people to involve is to really not only understand, but see that their participation makes a difference, and that making a difference should start with processes that go beyond consultation. And I'm not saying always achieving consent, but at least more than a simple consultation.
Felipe looks to the Citizen Assemblies for Climate as a great example of citizens' participation on environmental issues.
This has been done in a lot of countries of Europe. The most recent one was the one of Spain, I think. And there's different standards, of course, for all of these assemblies, but the ones that have a previous compromise from the government to implement the results of that process have been the most transformative ones and are the ones that we are trying to achieve here, maybe in local governments. It doesn't have to be nationally in scale. But that is a very good example for a process that goes beyond consultation, that has a lot of and parallel processes of participation, and that has a previous compromise of the government to implement whatever the result is in this process. That, of course, has the help of experts and the help of private organizations that are looking for the process to work, etc. But that is one of my favorite examples from a process that really is innovating in democracy.
Felipe hopes Eskazu can aid the implementation of similar processes. But while 25 countries in the Americas have signed it, only 14 countries have ratified the agreement.
I think that the main goal that we have today is that all Latin America is ratified, signing, and implementing Eskazu. I think that there are still some very, very key countries that we need their help to get on board of this process to achieve climate democracy and environmental democracy. And I think that the people who are that are working in Eskazu are mainly focusing on get all the countries in, and to the countries that are maybe more convinced of the Eskazu to start implementing, to have examples to show the other countries, and that this is not something that is going to change the basis of all legislation, environmental issues, etc., but that can be used with or without the actual legal modifications. Now, we can start using Eskazu right away if you know how to use it. And of course, they should lead to some major modifications in some legislations, but that is not the only way to use Eskazu. And I think that there are the countries and the people, their organizations that are working in Eskazu are really involved in to have examples to show to other countries to really take the leap into this process.
Lastly, Felipe has a message for young people who wish to engage in environmental democracy.
I think I have talked this with some colleagues and some friends, and of course, young people, they have a different switch of how things should be done, and they are really seeing that they have a voice that it was not there years ago. Now, I think that, of course, they have a really relevant role because they are the future that will receive the impacts of the things that we have been doing the last 30, 50 years. But also, they have a voice that is not, I would say, it's not polluted for other approaches. It's a very pure approach that of a person that have all hope that humanity will achieve a sustainable development, that are informing themselves and are putting on the table some very rational alternatives. And really, most of the times, it is a different approach for a different generation with a different value standards that are putting in the table very, very rational solutions and urgent matters to address. And I think they have been key to put some troubles in a very simple language because they are not experts. They are this really in between experts and not expert people. They're informing that putting information together, and they have been key to really, really land some of the most difficult climate and environmental discussions in simple words, just to disseminate and just to really get to the heart of people that are worried about our future.
As important as agreements like Eskazu are, they must be implemented effectively to truly ensure the protection of our environment. And this is why Felipe's work is so crucial. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review our show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. For the latest updates on open government, you can follow OGP on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Before we go, we'd like to thank OGP and our producers at Human Group Media for making this podcast possible. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope to catch you again in our next episode.